Radio Network.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up, keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores, and now here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? We are back. It is another Wednesday. We will be hanging out here at Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete for the next hour and 59 minutes and 47 seconds.
I'll hold you to that.
Okay. And I'm leaving right at the 48-second mark.
Not a second more.
And not a second before either. I'm going to get some things off my chest. We've got a couple really sweet interviews for fighters that are on this weekend's Rochester card. Three returners, you know, that have been on the show before. So excited about that. The NBA lottery was last night.
That was awesome. The most epic NBA lottery in history.
Why? Because of the tank teams didn't win it?
Yes. That's exactly why.
Like the Patrick Ewing tank from, and some mysteriously.
Or the Cleveland tank.
Yeah.
Or the Orlando tank.
So who got the number one pick?
That would be the New Orleans Pelicans.
The Pelicans.
And Memphis Grizzlies with the second pick, and then the New York Knicks with the third pick.
So does that mean that the unibrow staying a Pelican?
They're going to try, but I don't think so.
I don't think he's going to stay. He's got 1 year left, so you might as well get something for him. And I'm thinking it's the fourth pick from L.A.
But they didn't want to give that up before.
Who didn't?
L.A. when they tried to go through that whole trade and all that kind of stuff. It didn't work out because they didn't give him enough. They didn't offer enough.
Yeah, but now you have the one and the four.
It'd be good.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. I didn't know this because, you know, if I'm not watching it to talk about, I'm watching Law & Order. I guess Unibrow wore a shirt on the final game of the season. That's all, folks.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Like an old Warner Brothers throwback?
Yep. Yep.
Sweet.
Basically saying, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, but yeah, I would trade him early season. You know, get 20 games out of him.
Oh, the?
The Unibrow.
The Unibrow, okay.
Trade him now. Let them practice.
Well, again, I like the fourth round pick.
Yeah,
though.
The fourth round. No, the fourth pick. The fourth round pick.
Right, the fourth pick.
Yeah, but, the entire roster, and the fourth overall pick,
and some cash
for Anthony Davis.
Now, there's been some rumors that the Lakers may trade LeBron.
I can see that
because they're tired of it.
Well, no. LeBron's tired of it.
Well, yeah. They're both tired of each other. And Lou, you know why Lou turned down the contract, right?
Because he didn't get 5 years.
And you know why he wanted five?
Because he wanted to be there after LeBron was gone.
Because LeBron has three, exactly.
Sure. Of course.
So big ups to him to walk away.
Hey, Jason Kidd's the new coach.
Wow.
No, he's the new coach. We all know that.
Vogel's
the puppet.
The puppet?
Yeah.
Rookie camps, OTAs have started in the NFL. I went out and hung out with the Buccaneers the other day.
Is the punter from UCF still there?
I believe so.
Does he sell? Well, they said that they signed four guys from rookie camp. And his name was not one of them.
Well, then he's not one of them.
But you said you saw him out there.
Well, I saw a lot of people. I don't know. I also didn't see a lot of people.
One being number 90. Well, no, there was a 93 out there, right? It wasn't the right 93?
Right, but there wasn't a 93 when I was out there on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
I purposely looked. Well, let me rephrase it. I didn't see a 93 out there. I didn't see Vernon Hargraves hanging out on the sidelines because he wasn't mentally prepared.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? Did they say anything?
Yeah, I'm not mentally prepared for this show.
Well, you never are, you know, but the difference is BA doesn't put up with it. I, 99 out of 100 times, do.
Well, you have sure. to.
You got to.
Well, I've booted him off before.
We can both leave now if you want to, Matt.
Well, no.
You can do it solo.
You need to stay.
No, I don't want to be here. My mind's not right. I got to check out.
Well, that's why he's keeping it together with a headband on.
Right? Yeah.
He's keeping his mind together.
He's keeping something together. All right, before we get our first guest, will be coming on momentarily. Megan Anderson fights this Saturday. I'm going to rip somebody right now when he's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. He's definitely uglier than me. He goes by the show name of Jack Swagger. did you see the fight? Did you hear what happened in the fight? And did you hear his comments to Big John after? And big ups, not that I would expect anything differently, but big ups to Big John for bringing it up. He pulled a knockout JoJo and held the submission a good 4, possibly 5 seconds. Ref is trying to pull him off. John asked him about it, and he said that he will never get caught again letting go too early. Until he knows it's the ref, he's not letting go.
I like the answer.
Well, if a guy tapped, there's a big difference between a tap and a guy that's pulling your arm. There's a big, he knew. Yeah. I believe he knew. Then he made a Brock Lesnarism when he said how excited he was.
Oh, yeah, Brock did say that in the press conference, right?
Well, he said
something to that effect.
He was going to go home and get on his wife and that kind of stuff. But he made even more of a, you know, about a part of his body and you know, all that kind of stuff. And I put the post up. Act like you've been there. Oh, yeah, that's right, you haven't. You know, he comes from the scripted world where they're looking for those types of heels. He's going to be a heel. I mean, he got booed. He got booed more than Hardy got booed in Fort Lauderdale in Sunrise.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Not a big fan of it. I'm against it.
But they need it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, people.
That organization needs it.
Well, every organization needs it. Let's be honest. You know, Greg Hardy, people are going to tune in.
Yeah, but.
In hopes that he loses. Now, I think most MMA fans that are familiar in any aspect will wait until he gets a real opponent. Similar to what we saw in Sunrise. You know, let's see him step up and fight a heavyweight in Bellator with some talent, with some experience, and let's see him try to hold on to a submission too long. Yeah. I'm not saying that he's not a bad athlete. I mean, he's still more ups, you know, than me.
Well, I mean, it's just like baseball. You're supposed to run through the first base. I mean, you don't stop.
Or run through the first baseman.
Exactly.
It depends.
Do you know that story?
No.
Really late on the pitch, ground ball to the first baseman.
How old are you?
I was probably like 8 or 9.
I don't even think you were that old. But, okay.
So late on the ball, ground ball to the first baseman. They run past the bag, and they stand in the baseline to tag me. So I ran her over.
He got thrown out of the league. I lost my mind.
Really?
Yeah. He got reinstated. But, you know, and that's what I said. I taught my players.
Run through it.
You don't stop at first base.
Sure.
You stop at the grass.
They drop the ball, too. So technically, I was safe.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, but that same thing with this. I mean, in a combat sport, you don't let go until the referee makes you stop.
I understand that, and I'm okay with that. And, you know, we had that incident with Eric Reynolds, and I made some comments. And until the referee grabs you, and until the referee puts his hands on you or yells stop or whatever, I'm okay with that. But I counted a good 4, possibly 5 seconds after he put his hands on, after he was trying to break it up. That's excessive.
You think so?
Absolutely. 5 seconds. Okay. I'll give you 1.
Okay.
And again, I'll give you 2 if I have to. And this isn't from the time of the tap. This is from the time that the referee actually comes over. You know, if they're on the other
side. That's a different story.
Exactly. I counted 4, possibly 5 seconds from the time ref put his hands on Jack Swagger.
So what did John say? What did Big John say?
He questioned it.
Yeah.
You know, why?
So deliberate and intentional?
I believe it was. He said it wasn't. I don't believe him. He said that, you know, until I know for sure it's the ref and all that kind of stuff. And again, I believe the difference between a guy that's flapping trying to tap and a guy who's physically has his hands on trying to lift you up. If the guy could have lifted you up, don't you think he would have done that instead of tapped?
Yeah.
It was just awful.
Sure.
Not my favorite thing.
Right.
I did get credentialed, by the way, for Wilder.
Did you?
I didn't know until yesterday.
What about me?
You did not.
I did not?
You did not.
No, I got denied.
You got denied.
No
well,
way.
If I said you did not, then yeah, you got denied.
You're lying.
Liar.
You're lying. Quit hanging on. You're hanging on like 5 seconds too long here. Let me know.
I may rub this in 5 seconds too long. But
I'll look at plane tickets right now.
But I declined. I said I'm not going.
Good for you.
First of all, you can't. Now, I got the email on Friday. I didn't see it until this morning.
Okay.
Oh, it's this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little Saturday.
I even think Friday is too. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, week out's too
You want me there on Wednesday to broadcast, but you don't tell me till Friday? And I'm going to fly to New York? It doesn't matter where I'm going to fly, but to New York? Where
New York's worth it.
No, it's really not.
It's a Showtime production, right?
I don't know. It's Mayweather. It's the BZA. It's there's so many hands in the kettle. Sure. That, and I said I'd love to start covering more boxing. I'd love to get some fighters on, but I can't be told 3 days before you want me there to broadcast.
And they didn't validate my credential. I didn't get in.
Well, you're not valid to begin with.
So. I am. Maybe it's probably the Barstool guy. He's probably afraid I was going to come up there and. Knock them out.
They probably figured that you'd end up back in jail in Brooklyn again.
I'm okay with that. Yeah, okay. I know where it is. And it was a nice facility. If it's good enough for McGregor, it's good enough for me.
No, we don't know that.
Charges dropped in Miami.
Yeah.
That is. He did get them dropped. He settled out of court for an undisclosed amount of money.
Is that alleged, or did you know that?
That's what they reported.
Okay. If I was the guy, I'd pull a Conor McGregor and say, I want stake in your company.
In the whiskey.
Yeah, I don't want cash.
Right. I want... Steak and proper.
Well, I don't know if we talked about it last week, but give me your thoughts. Kind of similar, to what we're talking about with the Albert Pujols home run.
Did you read the story? I read the story up from the guy. He says he wants no money. I don't want money. He just wanted respect. And they treated him like an animal. In Detroit, he's a Detroit fan. So he said, you treated me like crap. I'm going to keep the ball.
But his brother's a Pujols fan, like a diehard. And he wanted to give the ball to his brother.
He said that he would give Pujols the ball in Anaheim as they sat over beers and just talked. He's like, that's all I want.
And he declined.
No, that's what the fan said.
Right.
Like, I would do that. It's not about the money. I'd give him the ball. It's just how he was treated by Major League Baseball and the Detroit Tigers.
What would you do? Would you keep it?
I'd keep it.
You keep the ball?
I'd keep it.
I would keep it, absolutely.
I got a Kevin Kiermaier ball, I'll sell you.
You have a second-place trophy
first of all,
too.
First of all, I didn't say that I would sell it, so why would I buy that? I would keep it. And like I put it, on my thing, players, and I've said this, on and on and on and on, athletes, not players, athletes really don't owe fans anything. They don't.
They don't.
It's cool if they do. It's cool if they acknowledge. I get all that. But if athletes are going to go on that, then it's the same for the fans. The fans don't owe Albert Pujols anything.
No.
The fans don't owe the Tigers, the Lions, the Bears. It doesn't matter.
Pujols said he wasn't going to pay for it. I think that's what he said. But I haven't heard anything if the Pujols actually took up the offer of the beers in Southern California.
No, he obviously doesn't want it too bad.
Well, who knows?
Was it 2,000 hits or what was that milestone?
RBI. It was RBI.
It was obviously a home run.
So. Right. And again, I'm okay with it. I'm okay if he keeps it and throws it in the trash. He doesn't owe Albert Pujols anything.
Nothing. Not at all.
They were saying the ball's worth nothing once it leaves the park because they couldn't authenticate the ball.
They wouldn't. Not they couldn't.
No, they said once you leave, it can't be authenticated.
So why didn't they authenticate it before he left?
Because he didn't hand it over to him.
Right.
They were going to authenticate it once he handed it over. He goes, I think it's pretty clear that it's authenticated when you watch the video and you see me grab the ball.
Right, it's my ball. I got the ball in my hand right now.
and you've come up to me and you've tried to get it from me.
Yeah.
So it is all of that. So let's get back on track. A lot of other things to talk about, the mini camps, the OTAs, the draft lottery last night. But let's go up to New York where we were going to go this weekend. Let's go to Rochester and welcome our first guest for this Saturday's Fight Night 152, Megan Anderson. Megan, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Before we get into Saturday in the fight, I have a question for you. It's one of my pet peeves. I did my 12 seconds of research and saw that you served, in the military. I'm curious what your thoughts are about athletes, fighters, baseball players, whatever, that use the flag as a prop or as a cape or whatever.
I really kind of feel like it's personal preference. I know some countries they're very passionate and proud. So I do know that they use that as a show of that. But to be honest, I really just think it's personal preference.
Okay. I mean, we can go with that. I dislike it only because, and I'm a veteran. I served in the military as well. I like that athletes show their country and they're proud, but as soon as they take it off, then the respect of the flag, any flag, not, it doesn't matter what country, So I don't mean to go off. It was just one of my things. And,
I get what you're saying. And I think, like, maybe in that case, at least the cornerman should have, you know, make sure that it's folded and it's put away safely. And a better job is done about that. I definitely can see where you're coming from.
Exactly. Perfect. All right. So let's get into Saturday night, UFC Fight Night 152 on ESPN. What do you know about your opponent and what goes into preparing for this or really any opponent?
I know a little bit about my opponent, Felicia. She, you know, has a lot of good skills that she brings to the table. She has, you know, she's tough, she's durable, she's got a good ground game, good system there. And I guess really for us, we don't really, like, there is a certain point that you can train for an opponent, but, like, at the end of the day, particularly for me, it's more of, like, leveling up my game, like, in all areas, like, regardless of who I'm fighting. I am the type of person that, like, I want to be the best martial artist that I can be, and, you know, an opponent, whether they're a striker or a grappler or a wrestler, like, that doesn't really change that goal. So for us, it's more of, like, just improving my game overall and just doing a few small little tweaks here and there that may be specific to a certain opponent.
So it's more your game and what you're going to do to your opponent than what your opponent is good at or what they can do.
Yes.
What do you do fight week to try to pass the week? You know, it's almost like, you know, you're in school and you have 4 days left, and, you know, every night you want to go to sleep to wake up, so you're one day closer to summer vacation.
Yeah.
What do you do fight week to pass the time?
The good thing about, you know, the UFC is if we have a lot of media or photo shoots or, you know, we have the check-in, we're going to sign like a million posters. So they kind of have some things that you can, you know, do to pass the time, and it kind of helps with that. But there is a lot of downtime. And really, for us, like, I have a really good team. We're very, you know, we make fun of each other, like, have a lot of fun. And I think that is, like, the whole key for us is, like, just having fun and, you know, passing the time. I watched the guys play chess on the plane up here yesterday. And that was funny in itself because, you know, neither of them can play chess. So it was just hilarious to watch.
Well, it's just good that the airline doesn't count each chess piece as another piece of luggage.
Yeah, well, it's one of those ones that you can play on a tablet.
Okay.
And it's like an app that you download, but it's on this big, huge, giant iPad, like one of those graphic designer ones that's like... Right. Even bigger than the normal one, and it's like this giant, like, virtual chess piece, and they're just losing their minds over here because one is beating them, and the other one doesn't know how to play.
What's the strangest thing that you've kind of thought about in the middle of a fight? Has your mind ever wandered to, and I always bring this up, I was interviewing one of the fighters, and they said that they were fighting Dennis Seaver, who's German, and, you know, he heard his corner talking German, and he started to just drift to think of that Inglourious Bastard movie. And for like four seconds, he's thinking about a movie. Has anything strange like that happened to you?
I haven't thought about a movie in the middle of a fight, but, I remember I was fighting Holly Holm, and we were on the ground, and I was she had me on. I was on my back, and she was in mount, and I was trying to get out. And I distinctly, like, I swear, I distinctly remember her corner saying, "They said she's about to bridge, but it's okay. She's not American strong. It's not going to work." In my head, I was like, "What?" Like, what is that? What? That makes no sense. Like, being from a specific country doesn't make someone stronger than somebody else, but I don't think it works that way. And so I kind of drifted in that, like, in regards to that, but then I was like, okay, like, let's get back to the fight.
Wow, that's crazy. I've never heard anything like that. That's insane. What would you like the national audience to know about you that they, you know, might not already know?
Well... I don't know. I am have a funny accent. I'm from Australia, and I live in Kansas City now. Kansas City is my adopted home, and we have pretty good barbecue there, and I love barbecue.
they do have pretty good barbecue, and you don't have a strange accent. As a matter of fact, that's my accent on my phone. That's the Siri accent that I use.
So many of my teammates have changed their Siri to an Australian accent so they can, like, use it to practice their Australian accent, and it still turns out terrible.
How about hobbies and, you know, what do you do, not necessarily fight week, but, you know, you're home, the fight's 3 weeks ago. How do you relax? What are your hobbies? What do you watch on TV?
Yeah, I don't really do a lot. I love watching movies. I went and saw the Avengers Endgame movie. Oh my God, best movie ever. I cried like twice in the first 10 minutes. but I just, you know, I have my dogs. I have two Rottweilers. They're like a year and 6 months, so they're a bit of a handful. But I just watch TV shows. I love watching the fights pretty much. I'm pretty boring, really. I go to the gym, I train, come home, and I just relax. That's pretty much what I do.
Can you watch a fight as a fan, or as you're watching a fight, are you always, you know, trying to pick something up, always trying to learn and get better?
A bit of both. But there's sometimes, like, with, like, crazy, like, knockouts or crazy stuff that happens, I will, like, the fan in me comes out, and I'll be sitting on my couch going, oh, my God, what just happened? So there is, like, a bit of both, and sometimes, like, I'll catch myself and I'm like, oh, wow, that was, like, I can see the, like, the technical, you know, ability in a move that someone does, but then other times, I freaked out like everybody else because someone got knocked out.
Final question for you. What can we expect to see Saturday night?
I definitely, you guys can expect to see fireworks. This is a really good fight for the featherweight division in the UFC, and a lot of people are going to have a lot of questions answered, and I don't see it going to the decision.
Very good stuff. Thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold so we can get your address and mail you a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That's Saturday night, ESPN. Matter of fact, the main event on the prelim is Megan. So I guess I need to put you guys back in.
Put me back in.
Thank you. We just got tagged back in the game.
Yeah. All right, well, go. I turned your mics on.
Oh, it's great. No, welcome back.
No, I've already been here. You guys that are welcome
back.
Oh, we're back. Yeah, how about that? Yeah. High five.
Rochester.
Yeah. We missed, too.
Rochester. What's close to Rochester?
Brooklyn.
Syracuse.
Brooklyn? It's like 4 hours, isn't it?
Everything's close to Brooklyn. My heart is close to Brooklyn.
Oh, no longer Brazil. It's now Brooklyn.
It's the bees.
Yeah, it's all bees. I can only be from a city with the bees.
Boston?
Not Boston. I don't like baked beans.
I love Boston.
And I don't like the people.
Maybe that's what we'll do. Well, I'm from Philly, so everything is a step up. Maybe that's what we'll start. We'll pick one letter every week. And whatever that, like, A, you know, we'll have to do a food, a city, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Could be something stupid.
All right.
Probably will be.
Yeah, it'll fit in exactly well with what we're going to do. All right, let's think about it because it's break time. We're a quarter down. We're headed into the second quarter.
Break starts with a B.
Yeah, but we're going to start with an A.
No, we're going B.
All right,
is it an American break or is it an international break?
That's crazy. I wonder who yelled that, whether it was Greg or Winklejohn or not American strong.
Yeah, not American strong, but Boston strong. That's the thing.
Well, there's Vegas strong. There's New Orleans strong. Everything is strong. I wonder who started that. Was it Boston that started that first after the bombing?
Yeah, I think it was Boston.
Yep. It was the Wahlburgers.
And now we got America
strong. I don't know. Now it's a Boston strong burger at Wahlburgers.
They have one?
I don't know. One quarter down, three quarters to go. Let's hit this break. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Song. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time, but I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, hi, this is Mike Schmidt. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment.
With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Reggie Bush, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Can you get to the press conference in time?
Sure. When is it?
Tomorrow.
What time?
12 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
I can be there. Am I credentialed?
No. Well, you can go in. It's the same door.
I just walk in. They'll know who I am.
Well, no.
Oh, it's the pizza guy.
They won't know who you are.
They will.
They won't know who you are, but you can go through the same door that Conor McGregor went through at the Barclays.
Are you going to open it for me if I knock?
I won't open it for you, just like I didn't open it for him.
He definitely won't open it for you.
Why? What if they have the Ring doorbell on and you can see me on the other side?
I'm just glad that what I have to do at 4:15 today will be off the air. Because in 2012, I drank this stuff that I have to drink.
Okay.
While the show was going on.
Do you remember that? I remember that. Yeah, you were in and out.
I was in it, and not a burger.
No.
Really?
Yep.
A couple days later, we went to Seattle.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything.
Wow.
But yeah, tomorrow will be my third installment of...
The Roto-Rooter.
Of Mr. Roto-Rooter.
Nice.
Yeah. How much weight will I lose? Will I lose weight?
No.
I'm cleaning myself out.
Yeah, no, but you're just going to immediately put it right back.
Oh, trust me, I'm going to.
Lose a couple pounds of dignity.
Why is that? I'm proud that I'm doing this test.
No,
I think only a knucklehead wouldn't do it.
Yeah, no.
If it saves not only my life, but me talking about it.
Sure.
And getting somebody in that might not be thinking about going to do it.
There's actually a movie. Who's that guy, the Terry Bradshaw? Wasn't he a quarterback?
He was.
He was.
He's pretty good. He's in a movie. He's an actor now.
He's a bro.
Huh?
He's a bro.
But no, in the movie, they talk about prevention and getting tested and making it, you know, like a talking point for men. So it's good to be on the forward front of that.
So we will do that, what you and I were talking about on the break.
Well, I'll give and credit where credit's due.
Well, no. We'll do it. I'm going to give credit. But Matt's in charge of it because I think Matt fits this perfectly of the three of us. So I got a suggestion, Matt, coming from Eric in Denver.
All right.
He wanted
What the Matt?
He was producing the show for us because I don't do that.
Who was?
Eric was.
Eric was?
So he wants to add a segment, and I think it'd be great to add to the what the Matt.
Okay.
It's going to be the Broman of the Week.
Okay.
So
he got all excited because he likes bros.
His example was Rob Gronkowski smashing the trophy or denting the trophy with the baseball a couple weeks ago in Fenway. So that's your job. Next week will be the Broman of the Week, and you just got to find something.
All right. So my question is, what's a bro, and who is a bro, and who decides the bromance?
We're all bros. We're like, you know, knucklehead. Beer drinking.
Oh, is that what a bro is? A bro is a knucklehead?
Yeah, like a knucklehead.
Oh.
He said prevention, bro, talking about your test tomorrow.
There we go. Prevention.
Yeah, you're
it's bro mention.
Yeah.
No, I just don't know what a bro is. I don't.
Well, let's see if we got a definition.
Yeah, see if you can find it. Is it Urban Dictionary?
That's what I'm going to look up right now.
Yeah, like a bro.
Because you would need to know that. I mean, so is this segment going to be a. Something, and you brought up knuckleheads.
I feel like a jock, like a sports jock. Like that's kind of like a
All right, so the first definition is friend, commonly used in greetings. What's up, bro?
Hmm.
This one is an alpha male idiot.
There you go.
That is the first sentence.
That's a Gronkowski all day long.
Well, and it's a Matt, too.
It is a Matt.
That's said athlete, though, right?
Oh, I'm an
no,
athlete.
No, alpha.
Oh, alpha.
Oh, I'm alpha.
I'm not even sure you're an alpha. Well, no, I've seen you upset twice.
Oh, yeah, I'm an alpha. And I'm an athlete.
Inarticulate, belligerent. Talks about nothing
but himself.
Yeah, there you go.
So my name is Bro. it does start with a B. So, and you know I love Brazil. So
in this definition, the sentence that they give is, my sister's new boyfriend is an idiot. The dude is a total bro. The dude is a total bro.
I've never heard bro that way.
But totally a bro.
An idiot.
I'm an all-day bro.
No, you're an all-day idiot. According
my letter of the day is B. Was Sesame Street?
Yeah, and you just said that you like Boston,
Brazil.
You said
Brooklyn.
You just said
that's because I'm an idiot. I'm a bumbling idiot. And that starts with a B as well.
You notice how this is why I am a professional. I stopped talking when he admitted he was an idiot. So we now have a clip at the 35-minute mark of the first hour, and you know that will be used.
Absolutely.
I'm going to send it over to Caveman, and he'll splice and dice it. And that is going to be our new liner. You know I'm an idiot.
That's true.
It is. Is it?
Unfortunately, it's very true.
So I'm sure you guys saw it's been agreed upon. I don't think it's been signed yet. The Frankie Edgar Holloway fight.
I saw. Yeah, I don't think it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like a lot of those pop up in my news feed. Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Go.
No, ruin my flow. We're good, bro.
Don't flow it. Flow it up, bro.
We're good, bro.
I'm sorry, flow, bro. I'm go.
Okay, no, I'm good.
Take the flow, bro.
Isn't your guy, your bro, Matt Riddle, isn't he the one who's
that's
the bro?
Not mine. That's Eric's because his nickname is the Ultimate Bro. That's his stage nickname for the WWE at was it NXT Live.
Okay, so he's NXT, he's not WWE.
Well, NXT falls under the WWE banner. He's a WWE superstar fighting under the NXT banner.
If you're a AAA baseball player, you're not a MLB-er. You're not playing Major League Baseball.
Who's paying you?
You're not a Major League Baseball player, right?
No,
you're a pro ball player.
You're a pro ball player.
Right.
So he's a WWE wrestler. All of them are. He's not a Ring of Honor wrestler.
I saw something where a WWE script reader said, I'm a WWE superstar. I don't think just because you're in the WWE that you're a WWE superstar.
That's what they are told to say. You're a WWE superstar.
But to me, a WWE superstar are the superstars, are the people, names that you would know.
What? Like The Rock?
Like anybody.
You just said anybody.
Anybody whose name you would know, like The Man.
Becky Lynch.
Yeah, The Man is a superstar.
Yeah, she's dating
Seth Rollins.
Is that who it is?
Yeah. Yeah.
Bro.
Bro.
Now, would they be bros because she's in The Man?
Yeah, yeah. I think she can fall under the bro title.
She's
yeah.
a bro.
Yeah, so, she qualifies. Fall. Yeah.
She's a bro.
She's a bro.
I mean, she identifies as a bro or something.
The NCAA are forming a group. I don't know if you guys saw this.
I saw it.
About paying athletes.
Absolutely. Love Finally, it. My college paper is coming in handy.
But here's the thing that I found interesting. Now, again, I'm sure they're going to expand on it. They're going to look into paying for likeness and name. So really, that narrows it down.
Does it?
Doesn't it?
It does.
You got to be likable. You got to be marketable.
Right.
Zion Williamson.
They're going.
Jalen Rose going back to college?
Well, no. Now, see, if you're going to pay, I think you pay everyone. But the way I read that, and again,
absolutely not.
You have to.
Yeah.
What is this world coming to?
Well, now there's going to be a code red, because they're going to code red the big name that's getting the money.
Why not? He's taking them out. Hitting the town with him.
Is he? Is he?
If he's a bro, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if he's a
yeah.
bro.
Yeah, if he's not a bro.
But he might not be a bro. No,
that's true.
He might be all, you know, in it for himself to get in and get out.
But so how many people are getting paid? Like all programs are getting paid?
It's just that person it's that, just gonna that can be bring
the,
it in.
It's just going to be the marquee name, which isn't right.
That's not right. They should do it Why? Based on. No. Because each program collects a certain amount of revenue per year.
He said program, not program.
A program. Each program brings in a certain amount of revenue. They should take a percentage.
I love how you produce live on the air.
That's great. They should take a percentage of the revenue earned for that school, for that sport, and they divide it up between the athletes of that said team.
Okay, they are. It's called a scholarship. So you're good.
Hey, stop with the scholarship.
No. Now you go above and beyond. And then the easiest example would be the swimming team. The swimming team doesn't bring in any additional revenue, say, at Florida. But football and basketball and baseball do. So why not pay those eight guys that are bringing in the name, selling the jerseys with the numbers on the back? You know who it is. They have a 15 jersey that they had sold when Tebow was there. Oh, you don't know that Tim Tebow wears 15? They're all buying 15 jerseys.
Will it Give be them a retro, retroactive?
It won't be, but it should be.
You know, because
he'd run them out of business.
Absolutely. You know, now you put Tebow on the 15?
Or the 23 North Carolina jersey that doesn't have a name on the back?
Who's that?
I have no idea.
No. Could he play basketball at all?
A little bit.
Right. Not back then.
I mean, put number one on a Duke jersey. just name that player.
Right.
There's 15 of them.
Well, you would do the same at Kentucky. And.
But how do you do it in a fair way? I mean, how do you do it?
You can't. That's the problem.
That's exactly fair. Whoever's bringing in the most. Whoever's likeness they're going to use. The team chooses, the school chooses, who they're going to put the jersey with the number on the back.
Here's the opposite side of that. That person's not going to need it. Let's be honest.
Right. They're already getting paid on
boosters. Your boy Zion's going to get paid by boosters. They're already getting money.
They're getting paid on the back end already. 10 grand a month for, like, you know,
allowance. It will make it where the guys who don't get it will now be taking more from a booster than
right.
the number one guy. But again, you're only concerned about the number one guy is now legally getting paid. He's not going to take anything from an agent. We don't have to worry
about
it. But
they may stay in school longer. They may stay for 4 years. They may make NCAA sports more competitive and better.
Give me the definition of bro again.
An idiot.
Okay. All right. Because they're going to make a little bit of money, they're going to stay in college?
I think they would.
Absolutely.
Ask Matt Leinart if he would rather stay at USC, where he was king of the hill.
Ask Zion.
Or get out in the NFL and be a nobody. And, you know, now what's he doing? Selling auto parts or something?
Ask LeBron.
Fox Sports 1.
Ask LeBron. This is the guy that didn't even go to college.
Yeah, but college is a great experience.
Oh, it could be.
And if you're king of the hill, if you're like a dominant star, you're that campus
okay,
is a different world than Zion. The rest of the world.
Zion's going to stay making a little bit of money in, was it Durham, North Carolina? Or Bourbon Street?
Oh, I think
Nollins.
I think he would probably stay a couple more years if he was making decent money.
What's decent money?
Enough to support yourself to where you don't have to worry about anything.
That's what New Orleans
million
is doing.
$30 million.
Yeah, but there's an X factor there.
What's the X factor?
You're the king of the hill. You're the king. I mean, maybe
so he's number two in New Orleans now instead of number one.
For 3 weeks.
I mean, look.
You're talking about Drew Brees. But,
Drew Brees is one. Look, and
he comes out in the NBA and he gets embarrassed and he gets shown Payton. That he's not as good as he once was. He loses that bubble. That bubble where he's king of the hill at Duke right now, where he's the
he'll
man.
He'll have enough money that he can buy a new hill and be the king.
No way. No way. You see it all the time. You see it all the time. These guys don't live up to their hype and their expectations.
Sure.
They lose it. You know, like mentally, they lose it.
So money-wise, and we don't know what the number is going to be. It can't be stupid money. It can't be. There's no way it could be $100,000, $200,000.
Why can't it be?
Because it can't be.
They're bringing in hundreds and of millions of dollars for a D1 top 25 program. They're bringing in hundreds of millions. Why can't you pay your star guy or 12 guys or 10 guys?
How much? What are you talking?
100 grand a year.
Why? 100 grand is not enough to keep the number one pick in the draft in college, where he could blow his knee out or a shoe and ruin his entire career.
So the 2017-2018 NBA rookie pay scale, the number one overall pick got a little under $6 million for the first year.
So for him to stay, he would need four. Then maybe, and I still don't think so. But $150,000 over $6 million, it's not going to happen.
So pay all the other guys $100,000 a year. Give your star guy, you know.
But it's not about paying the people who don't bring in the money. The two guys. Now, at Duke, they had 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, they had all
that would
guys.
Bring in the money. Right, and they'll do it again next year.
Right.
Well, it's all those schools. Same with Kentucky. Kentucky could go 2 or 3 players deep.
But I couldn't tell you 1, 2, or 3 from Kentucky, but I could tell you 1, 2, and 3 at Duke.
Who's 3 at Duke?
Was a Reddish. Cam Reddish is 3.
Okay. All right.
I think it
and he's projected to be the 5th
better.
Pick. I think so they're going to go 1, 3, 5.
You could do that with the Sixers, too. They have a couple decent guys.
The Sixers?
Yeah, they're just a college team.
They are a college team.
Are you okay with Abib?
Abib?
Yeah, Abib. Kareem Abib.
Okay. Well, am I okay with what?
With his emotion after.
Absolutely.
I am.
I love it. That's the guy you want on your team. He was, I mean, should have blocked the shot, and they should have given him a little help, but that's the guy you want.
Well, I mean, in all fairness, that was the first time that there's ever a Game 7 buzzer beater. You know, and it hit the rim 4 times before it went in.
I mean,
you can't let him get it off.
Yeah.
He's a right-handed shooter. You got to go left.
He was running away in the corner, fade away with a huge arch. I mean, and he got a shooter's bounce. I mean, it was a miracle shot.
According to Forbes, Williamson will have a projected salary of $8.12 million this year.
All right, so buy him a car.
And he'll be making 10 by his 4th season.
Buy him a car and give him $100,000 a year.
He already has a car, and he was making $100,000 a year at Duke.
To be king of the hill at Duke for another 3 years, it's worth $7 million.
Oh, and
let's hit a break real quick. And when we come back, I think we'll have Nick Lentz on as we get more prepared for this weekend UFC in Rochester. So let's do that. We'll be right back. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Snap Zone.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, this is Herschel Walker, and I tell everyone out there, listen, y'all need to listen to Knockout Radio.
Wait, what's wrong with the two of you? What do you mean? Oh, my God.
Well, then there's an interview coming up.
Oh, it's coming up. Doesn't mean it's now.
When I break hard.
Bro.
Bro.
I'm a hard breaker, bro. Starts with a B. I'm in.
Break. We need to somehow figure out a word driving from sunrise back that we could somehow come into bro. But we'll do that later. I'm turning you off. I'm done with you, Ripper, right now. Yeah, you're done. Let's head back up to Rochester as we get ready for UFC Fight Night 152 this weekend and welcome our next guest back to the program. He's been on before, Nick Lentz. Nick, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Let me ask you this. How has the sport and really your training changed since your first pro fight?
Since my first pro fight? Oh, my. I mean, it's changed dramatically. I mean, I used to train in a garage and stuff like that. So it's definitely changed. And it was a lot of guys training. A lot of guys were just wrestlers or they were just strikers. You know, I've been fighting for a long time, so. All the way back to like 2005, so it's been a while. So I don't know. I mean, it's a completely different thing. Back then, it was more like I don't know, street fight mixed with a little talent in a certain you know, discipline like wrestling or kickboxing or stuff. Now it's a full blown sport with, you know, professional trainers, professional money. I mean, everything is different. It's a completely different thing.
The reason that I brought it up is, you know, I do a lot of NFL shows with players, and the same thing. Fans think, you know, a football player shows up on Sunday, plays the game, and they don't hear from him. He doesn't practice. He doesn't do anything until his next game on Sunday. I still think as our sport is continuing to grow, it's come a long way since day one, but still, you know, a long way for it to go. I still think a lot of fans have no idea not only what goes into it now, but what went into it in your early years, you know, the early years of MMA and the UFC and the training and the nutrition and everything, then how that has changed over the years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely different thing. I mean, I don't think anybody works less hard. I mean, we worked just as hard back then. We just weren't as knowledgeable and we weren't as skilled, you know. So, I mean, all the fighters, their technique might not have been as good, but, I mean, they were working with what we had at the time. So it's definitely changed a lot, but the work ethic and stuff has always been tremendously high in MMA. So, I mean, the MMA fighters, there's a lot of easier ways to make a living than being an MMA fighter, that's for sure.
No,
if you're just going to put in pure hours of training and hours of dieting and stuff like that, I mean, until recently, you were making, you know, the garbage man was making more money than you per hour. So it wasn't the best job for a long time, but... You know, a lot of us stuck with it and knew that it was going to turn into something great.
You know, I always remember Marcus Jones. He played for the Bucks, and then he went on The Ultimate Fighter. And he once told me when we were talking about football, he said that he never liked football. He was just really good at it. And, you know, I kind of ask fighters that because, like you said, there's much better ways to make money. Do you love this, or is it just something that you're really good at?
I didn't love it for many years. You know, it was something that I just was really good at. And it was something that I did. And then all the years to cut into 45, and it kind of made my life miserable, to tell you the truth. I mean, I was really focused on fighting, but my personal life was kind of a disaster because of it. And it wasn't until I got married and then I had my first kid that I really put it in the proper perspective of what fighting means to me. And it kind of became second and third most important in my life. And once I did that, the stress of the world kind of lifted off my shoulders. And I actually really enjoy fighting now. I really enjoy the sport. I enjoy watching it. I never would watch it. I never would talk about it. I would never do anything like that. The idea of me spending the weekend, like, watching the UFC was insane, you know, back when I was cutting all the weight and training all the time. So now I train just as hard. I just train smarter, and I have a lot of more perspective on why, you know. I can understand that. I've hated many years of my MMA training, and I didn't like the grind. I didn't like all of it, but I would say the last 3 or 4 years have been a lot of fun, a lot more fun than they were in the beginning.
As we talked about the change and how much the change is, what is it like now when you look on ESPN and everybody growing up, no matter where we go in life, we've all seen something on ESPN. What's it like now you flip it on and you see your name down at the bottom scroll?
You know, one of the things that caught me off guard is that, like, I took my kids, I don't like little babies, but we went to CeCe's Pizza, and I was, like, sitting down at CeCe's Pizza, and, like, a little kid came up to me and recognized me, and that didn't happen until we were, like, in UFC, you know? Like, I had never had a kid recognize me for being an athlete or anything. I had lots of adults and stuff, but it was weird, you know? I mean, it was a cool experience, but I didn't even know what to say to the kid. You know, he's a little guy, so it's interesting. I've noticed a significant uptick in people recognizing you, like where you go and stuff like that. It's definitely improved the sport, and it's made it a hell of a lot more popular.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's where obviously we all thought it could go, and it's there, and it's continues to progress, and that's awesome. What's the strangest thing that's ever happened to you in the middle of a fight? Have you ever, like, daydreamed or thought about something right in the middle of a fight?
Well, I mean, it's pretty relevant, like, with this Charles fight. That was my last fight to 45, and I never felt worse in my life the last time I fought Charles, because I had to cut so much weight. And I actually thought about not fighting anymore during that fight camp, because I was just like, this is miserable. You know, and I say to this day, I would rather dig ditches than ever cut to 45 again. You know, I'd rather be homeless than cut that much weight again. So right. When I was fighting him, there was a part in, like, I think it was the second round or something, I got deep in the stomach, and I fell to my back. And I remember, like, looking up at the lights in the arena. All I could see was, like, Charles above me, and he's, like, raining down elbows on me. And I saw, like, one elbow hit me in the face, and I was just like, you know, I don't know if this is fun for me anymore. And then I saw another one coming down and hit me again, and I was like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to do this anymore. And he hit me again, and I was like, well, I'm not going to quit today. So then I got back up, but yeah, I mean, that was probably the weirdest experience, because it was, like, such slow motion. Like, I was just sitting there having a debate in my head if I was going to continue fighting or not. So
great.
A lot has changed since then, you know.
And now you're back in the octagon with them on Saturday night.
Yeah. So that's the craziest experience I ever had. It was like that moment lasted like 10 minutes or something. You know, it was super weird.
Crazy. With this being the third time that you and Charles will fight, and both the other times fight of the night, should that mean that that's what we should expect Saturday night?
Oh, it's going to be a scrap. There's no doubt. I mean, Charles is an excellent fighter, and he's gotten a lot better, and I've gotten a lot better. I mean, I'm a completely different person from what I was back then. But that doesn't really matter. You know, all that matters is who shows up on Saturday, and, you know, I think it's going to be me.
Is it weird, you know, to fight the same person, not, you know, once, not twice, but now a third time?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I guess I come from a wrestling background, so we wrestle the same kind of people all the time, and it seems like in athletics, you know, I mean, people play the same team every year, and people do the same stuff, so it's not that crazy of a thing, but it's definitely not as common as a lot of other things are.
Well, very cool. I want to thank you for your time. We're going to put you on hold real quick so I can get your address again to send you another care package from 8-Man Strong for your time, and best of luck and have fun on Saturday night.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
That is Nick Lentz back on the show, and I can't wait for Saturday night.
You're excited.
I really am, you know, for many reasons, and I know we're almost at the end of the first hour, but, you know, with everything that happened last week and, you know, mentally and all that kind of stuff, I need a good night of just sitting in my chair, you know, not going to you know, a plane and not having to fly somewhere. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about something else that we don't have to fly away to.
Yeah.
Not only do we not have to fly away to this event, but you will be in attendance.
And it starts with a B.
With a bought ticket. With that, we're going to discuss that just a tad when we return. One half down. We're in halftime. We need the halftime show. Where's the puppies with the frisbees? This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone.
Let me tell you now. I took her home to my place, watching every move on her face. She said, look, what's your game?
What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen